Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen, back with another episode of the Retired Podcast. And tonight, we are talking about Yogi's licking. I mean, it just never fails. Every single episode, she makes her presence known, whether it's walking around loudly or licking herself.
Hey, stop.
Okay. Anyways, what are we talking about, Riley?
Well, Noah.
It's weird when we call each other by name.
Tonight, or should I say this morning?
This morning, 12:14 a.m.
We are going to talk about what do we do when season is over.
Cry.
Immediately.
Crack a cold V8 and hit the road.
I have to say, I am exceptionally tired tonight.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I'm not. I'm wired, which is good because I'm about to have to edit this entire thing and get it uploaded and ready for tomorrow.
For all six listeners.
For all six listeners. But hey, you know what? If you're one of those six, we appreciate you deeply, and
we do.
You know, one day there will be 600 million probably listening.
At least.
And we'll never forget the six, you know? That really got us there. All right, so season comes to a close. You just lost. Hopefully at least in the postseason. I wouldn't know what that's like. But I do know the pain of the season ending. And I feel like it's different depending on what level you're playing. High school and college hurt. Pro ball, you're like, thank God. Finally. Good God. I just played 140 games. I can't wait to just go home and be away from baseball for a week.
I cried at the end of every single season except for my three pro seasons.
It's weird. Pro's different. It's just...
But ours are so short. So, it's, I mean, yeah. You develop... I feel like I developed good relationships with the girls that I met and played with. But it's not as, like, you're not as emotionally involved in the game aspect
of it. Right. You guys weren't practicing and grinding, like, all fall long together.
Right.
And building camaraderie to go and win a championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like pro for me the same way. Like, it was always the minors, so... It sounds bad, but like nobody cares about winning minor league championships. It's cool when you do,
mm-hmm.
but like every guy's there to get out of there as fast as possible on to the next level. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there's no brotherhood or like camaraderie. Like obviously every time we take the field together, we're trying to win, but when the season is done, you're just like, all right, I'll see y'all next year. You know, hopefully
hags,
hopefully at a higher level hags. Yeah. So, but no, I cried a couple at the end of high school. I did.
Guys, just if you're listening, this man's did not cry on our wedding day, yet he cried at the end of his high school baseball season.
And college. That's not true.
Wedding,
I might have
season
shed
is over.
It's just.
Come on.
I'm not even going to continue what I was about to say, but I was going to say it's just different. But
it's even worse.
I cried on our wedding day. A couple of tears. I shed some tears. We did first looks.
I saw zero physical tears.
I have video proof of at least me either acting like I was crying or crying without tears. I cried.
It's fine.
When I saw you on our first look, I was blown away.
You have to add that in the video. In our reel, we're going to post about this.
No.
Add it here.
No.
I've always wanted to do that.
I know you do. I'm never going to edit that in.
That's
just,
so rude.
Just so you don't get the satisfaction. I cried on our wedding. Anyways, yes, I wouldn't say like I'm a huge crier. I think, I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I've seen you cry like maybe one time. We've known each other for almost 10 years.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a huge crier. Which is weird because I would say like I'm a pretty emotional person.
You're not emotional at all.
I guess just with baseball. Well, either way.
Well, the things you care about, I guess. Well,
I'm emotional. Like sometimes you'll send me a really sad video because you do that a lot on Instagram. And like I'll tear up, but I don't like ball. Like I'm not a baller. I'm a baller.
Stop.
But I'm not a baller.
I knew. Exactly.
I cried at the end of my high school season for sure, because like my senior year, it was just,
I think it's the finality.
Yeah.
Like it's like in pro, you could, to a certain extent, just keep going. Like there'd be an infinite number of seasons left.
Right.
But in high school and travel and
that group is done.
It's like that team that you had is over, and the relationship, like you're with these people pretty much every single day.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is sad.
Especially
because you lose. Winning. There's only one team every single year that wins the last game they play.
Yeah. And I'd say even then, and I don't know because I've never won the last game I played. That's not true. When I was 10, I did. But
okay.
I would say that even then, like the teams that go and win the Women's College World Series, they're still going to shed some tears. Yeah. And they're not
it's
just
like
happy
a cathartic
tears.
Experience.
Like they're going to shed some sad tears because of the seniors leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's sad. It's a closing of a chapter, and especially when you lose, it's hard. And when you see a senior play their last game of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Tears.
Is that a mosquito?
Looks like one, doesn't it? It's the teeniest mosquito to ever live.
I've ever seen.
Squish it, squish it, squish it.
No. He's just vibing. He's listening to the podcast.
He won't be vibing.
Oh my God, we just lost a listener. Anyways, it's, when you watch somebody, whether it's a senior in high school or a senior in college, play their last game of baseball, and you see the emotion come over them, it's really, really sad.
Like today, Arkansas and Ole Miss played, and after Arkansas lost, I saw Bree Ellis literally collapse on the floor. And like, she's not being dramatic.
Yeah.
That's how everybody feels on the inside. Now, few people are actually going to do it, but like, it was real. She hugged Courtney Dyfel, her head coach, and like, her head coach was crying.
Yeah.
It was emotional.
And she will go on to play a pro. So like, that was her last game, but still, it's just like, your last game representing your college or your high school. It's sad. The closing of a chapter. So
what's next? So you lose, obviously.
Yeah.
You go home, cry some more.
What's next?
Peel off your uniform. The next day you wake up and do
absolutely nothing baseball related. Get me away from baseball. I need a good week. Like it changes with the season. Like if it was high school and I just finished,
you're playing select the next
week. You're playing
week.
Like summer, like your first summer ball is that following weekend. Yeah. So like literally every day besides maybe the day before my first summer ball practice or team, it's back. The mosquito's back. It will not be denied. It wants to listen. Let it listen.
Okay.
Anyways, you just, I did nothing. I was like, okay, I'm going to go chill and process everything that just happened. Mm-hmm. And whenever my first summer ball practice is, that's when I'll get going again. Because it's not like you got to re-get your body going. It's like, no, I just finished playing 5 days ago. But that's high school and college. I mean, college, if you're playing summer collegiate baseball, you literally finish your season and maybe go home for a couple of days and then go to wherever you're playing college summer league. So
that is the one thing about softball, I will say. Like, I feel like we've talked about burnout before, but I feel like you have to give yourself a chance to miss it. And obviously in baseball, it's different because you guys have something after college, and softball does too, but it's less competitive, I would say, to get in to professional softball, just because nobody sounds bad, but there's a very small pool of girls that want to play professional softball.
Right.
And then amongst those girls, there are very few of them that actually have the requirements to make it in professional softball. So like, we don't have to go play summer if
it's
we don't want to.
It's pretty crazy. Like if we took pro baseball and shrunk it down to the size of pro softball, like the level of talent, those are the best, 60 players?
It's like every single person is a franchise player.
Yeah, those are the best 60 players in the entire world at softball.
Yeah. I think the requirements at one point were that you either had to have played in the College World Series or been an All-American. And if you didn't meet those two criteria, then you didn't get a chance to play pro softball.
I wonder what percent that would be for baseball. Like, that's insane. Oh my gosh. She got the mosquito. It'll come back
soon. There's this little wing.
It'll come back soon. It will not be denied. So yeah, I mean, for baseball, it's just like, yeah, you get, if it's high school and college, you don't get much time off. But like after that pro season, give me a good month.
Yeah.
Because
that's how it was for us after college. It's like, I need to miss it.
140 games in the minors and you're just beat up mentally and physically after the travel that you just endured and just the length of that season. It's a lot of baseball. You need definitely the mental time away.
Mm.
So I would usually take a month off, but that's not true because I went to Instructs both years that I played with the A's. So
and then you went to the Dominican.
Yeah. So it was like,
you tried to officially take a month off.
I wanted to take time off, but you go to Instructs. So right after pro season's done, did I even come home? Maybe like 2 weeks at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to Instructs for a month. And then you have your time off. And I would say that was 1 month in like December. But by then it's like, hey, workouts are back in full swing. And
yeah.
So, yeah, then the next off season, I went to the Dominican, which was good. But give yourself some time mentally. You got to get away from it, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whatever. Like these sports are just so grueling on the mind. And you have to give yourself a break to just like go be a human who doesn't play a sport and is completely consumed by their sport 24/7. So that's what I did. What about you? Cause yours was, I mean, obviously in college, like there hasn't been college summer softball, but now there is.
I mean, there is a little bit
starting
to
become a thing. But like when college season was done, you were just like vibes. A grinder though. Like you
vibes. Well, I would let my body rest physically from swinging and from throwing. I think as far as like managing overuse injuries, everybody I feel like in season was some kind of just nagging something or other. And so I think the movement of the swing, and this is a different episode we can talk about, but the movement of the swing, the movement of the throw, just the physiology behind it is so repetitive that you need, your body needs time to repair itself.
Yeah.
But weightlifting wise and just like general fitness wise, I always found that I was refreshed after season was over, because during season, I don't feel like I'm able to stay in shape the way that I want to, because you're just so exhausted from playing so much. But in the summer, especially because it's hot, you can go out and do like the workouts you wouldn't normally do. Right. So like things like long distance running, things that I really enjoy that like help me clear my head.
Yeah.
And then like I really take a break from the heavy lifting and do mostly like, I'm talking like I still play when I played. Do like a lot of like almost like high rock style weightlifting. So it's like hydroxy cut. So it's still like, it's like kind of like a version of HIIT high intensity interval training.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite time of year, was summer. Cause for some reason for me, season, especially towards the end, it obviously gets more stressful cause we've made postseason. So like everybody's like doing their final push. It also, for me, I just feel like it's so overwhelming, the amount of work you're doing every single day.
Yeah.
And like at some point you start to get tired. You start to just lose the spark for it.
But you almost don't even realize it when you're in it.
Yeah.
Like if we took a step back while being in it, and we'd be like, dude, I'm literally doing like 8 hours a day of just all in baseball.
Yeah.
Or softball. And it's just normal.
Yeah. Plus school finishes, you finish your finals, you get all your grades.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a very, like a release, like,
it's almost
just breathe
weird.
For
it's
a second.
Weird. Like you get home and you're like, and I hate to say PTSD because it's so dramatic, but it's like, you're sitting there and you like, feel like you're supposed to be somewhere. Because especially the college schedule is just like, you're always somewhere at every moment. And when you're not, it's weird. Yeah. And so like when you get home after,
I feel like you're
season,
late for something.
You're like, was I supposed to do something? Like mm-hmm. have morning weights? Nope. It's weird. Did you ever find it hard to like actually take time off? besides the working
more out? So like mentally, it was hard for me to let go of some of the mistakes I had made in the season previous, or like the things I wish I could have done different, or like the ways I could have trained.
You hold grudges with yourself.
Like, yeah. Oh, definitely.
With your, like, there could be one very specific play that's in your head from like the third week of the season. And you're like, I'm going to spend an entire month of the summer doing that play 100 times a day. So I don't make that mistake again. Mm-hmm. That's next level. It's one of the reasons. No. Yeah, it is. But it's one of the reasons I married you. I was like, this girl is insane. And I love it. You're just so committed. Like, you just, like, I've always said that ambition was something that I really admired about you. And, like, thanks. I think that, like, I don't know if you took it this way, but, like, ambition isn't like, I'm going to go and be a successful career woman. Like,
boss
woman,
babe.
Yeah. And I was like, no, it was just like what I just said, what I just described is one play.
I think that's like an issue.
No, it was. And it, I definitely saw it that way, but I was like, that's so cool though. Like, I'll never forget. We had one time where I came down to College Station and we went on a date to the Cages.
Classic.
And literally for an hour straight, you were the one more person, because you could not hit a certain pitch in a certain spot. It was driving you nuts, and you refused to leave. You were like, I'm not leaving until I hit this pitch with the swing that I want.
Yeah.
And I was feeding, and I was hungry, and I was like, all right, I'm about to have to head back to...
It's funny that you remember that so, like, readily.
And you were pissed. Like, every single time, you were getting so mad at yourself. It was awesome. Psycho, but awesome.
I still do that. My bread doesn't come out the right way.
Yeah, it's just changed. You're the same person. It's just changed. Yeah, you mess up another bread loaf. You're like, gosh, dang it, dude. I'm making another one. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this and you're somebody who just got through a season, is probably emotional, you're probably upset that you lost, you're probably upset at your mistakes, even if you had the best year ever, there's still going to be places you want to improve. Here is what I would say. After you give yourself time off to rest physically, emotionally, I say at least 4 weeks, come up with a plan. I think one of the worst things you can do is just kind of start rolling back into training without, like, really methodically thinking about what areas of your game you want to get better in.
Yeah.
I would say the main areas, I usually say that, obviously, the physical side of it. So, like, defense and hitting. What are very specific things? I'm not talking, like, I want to be a better hitter. I'm talking, like, I'm going to nail outside pitches, open the second baseman's head every single time I'm back in training.
Yeah.
Outside pitches are going to become my favorite pitch to hit. Or curveballs, whatever you want to say. Same thing on defense, just picking something real specific you can get better at. But then beyond that, I think there's three more categories. I think mentally we can always strive to get better, whether that's like handling failure better, whether that's, I don't know, being able to take breaks when you need to. Like, that'd probably be something for me, is like just not being so psycho about it and like actually allowing myself to work through issues.
Yeah. I think identity problems too, especially around that time of the year.
Yeah.
Like, when your sport is done and your season's over, and whether it's good or bad, you're back home and feeling like, who am I now that I'm not putting on the uniform every day? That's another mental thing to kind of almost have to, if you were falling into that during the season, escape and like recenter yourself and remember, like, hey, baseball and softball is just what I do. It's not who I am. Because there's a lot of weight that you can carry when you start to find your identity in the sport too.
Definitely.
I definitely had some times where my season would end and I had to like take a second and be like, okay, hold on. Like, at first it was weird because I was like, what am I right now? You know, I'm not a baseball player anymore in this current time. But then it was a reminder of like, hey, that's not who I am anyways. Yeah. You know, it's what I do. So back to your point. Sorry.
You're good. Mentally. And then I think one thing I say a lot to my lessons is teammately. Like, I feel like there's always a way we could have been a better teammate throughout the season, whether it's like volunteering to pick up more equipment, or, you know, when a teammate is struggling with something, like either giving them tough love and saying like, hey, we're better than that if they're having an attitude, or like pat them on the back and just like tell them to keep their chin up and that they're great. But teammately is another one. And then I also think this is a little bit more like niche, But I think nutritionally, like, was there anything I could have done to fuel myself better? And that includes sleep. Mm. That includes hydration. Was there anything I could have done better nutritionally? Could I have planned better? Could I have eaten more food, less food, whatever that was, to keep me like at peak performance? And then go into your next season with a plan for those categories.
Yeah.
And then you have goals.
And write it down. That's one thing that you used to always do that I never did. It was like, write it down, put it in front of yourself on paper where you can like make a list and check it off. Because there is some satisfaction to that. Mm-hmm. When you wake up every day and you see the post on the mirror, and it's like, hey, this, this, and this, remember those goals every single day, put them right in front of your face.
Yeah.
To where you can't miss it. And if you see it and choose not to, you got some work to do.
One thing I will say, and this is a little bit off topic, but it kind of fits in with post season being over, I was watching regionals and super regionals. Super regionals just ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting like fired up about this the other day, and you were like, why are you mad? I saw so many, and I'm talking like stuff you learn when you're like coming up in the sport. So not like elite level plays necessarily, mm-hmm. but just like the basics, like how you set up for tags and how you, you know, field and throw on the run. Like I saw so many plays this past week and the week before where the girl was safe at first base because we didn't throw on the run, or the girl was safe at first base because the first baseman stretched too early.
That it's one like drove me nuts, the amount of times.
Yeah.
The first baseman are stretching too early and then not in the right direction of the throw.
It
and
kills then they get me.
Stuck. Oh god.
It's like these are things that take, you know, a day to like train and think about, and they made the difference in that team season. And it's not to say that that person that made the play or didn't make the play is to blame for it, but they could have rewritten the story had they made the play the right way.
Yeah, you just don't notice
executing bunts, executing sacrifice bunts.
Yeah.
This is why I don't coach.
This is why you should coach.
This is why I can't coach.
Your team would dominate those
things.
Would
literally run. If like my hitter didn't get sacrificed button down, I'm running off the field. I'm just running. I'm never coming back.
You are, or she is?
I am. I'm just running off.
They should.
In frustration and like never like return.
Remember the Titans. Coach Boone's like, you drop a pass, you run a mile. You fumble the football, you run a mile.
You don't throw on the run,
you run a mile.
You stretch too early.
Stick my... What's he saying? My foot in your rear hind parts, and then you will run a mile. Yeah.
Thing. Maybe that's one of the things on your list is work
little
on
things like the the intangibles. And if you're somebody who was just playing in the postseason and like you know that, I think a lot of times you kind of know deep down you're like, ooh, I could have done something better there.
Well, stuff that you just don't like, you either don't give the time for because you don't care about it, and that's like the worst thing. Or you just don't realize that it's a weakness until it's too late.
Until it happens on a big stage. You're like, ooh. But then, you know, once it happens on the right stage, you're like, never doing that again. Never making that mistake again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. I think definitely to wrap it up, time off, give yourself a mental break, improve where you can, and focus on your weaknesses. Make them strengths as much as you can. You won't always be able to turn a complete weakness into a complete strength in one off season, but you can start chipping away at it. And then just, I think another thing that's really important besides just like mental break, it's just like, do something else.
Go play pickleball.
Like find a different hobby. You know, it doesn't even have to be athletic. Go read a book.
Go play golf in Noah's case.
God, that's... Had I known.
Go garden, as you can see from my numerous plants in this house.
Nobody can see them.
This one plant.
There's one behind me, too. The air is very fresh in here. But yeah, it's just remember that even though this is what you do a lot and it's, you know, your college job and what got you on campus and is probably paying for a bit of your school, and or maybe it's what you do at a professional level.
Or maybe you just finished your first season ever and you're like, what's next?
Yeah, maybe you just came off your first select season and it was good. And, you know, what's next? Well, in summertime, go be a kid.
Go play in the backyard.
Go play with your friends.
Touch some grass. Grash?
Grash.
Grass.
Touch some grass.
Touch some grass, Jack.
but yeah, no, I think time away is good. Don't feel like you're falling behind. Like, you know, you know what it takes to get you back in gear. You know what you need to improve on.
If you don't, ask your coach.
Yeah, if you don't, create a plan. But, yeah, just give yourself time off. It doesn't mean you're soft. It doesn't mean you're lazy. It's necessary, especially with these sports.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the tease. So I don't know why that's where I went. One more thing I want to touch on is that we were so wrong with our predictions. At least I was with the softball postseason.
Yeah.
I think I was wrong with Liberty. Mm-hmm. I think I chose Arkansas over Ole Miss. Wrong there. Shout out to Ole Miss though, and Bobby. Bobbyville Slugger. No, Bobby Buchanan.
I hope he listens to this.
I hope he does too. Awesome for Bobby. He's doing some big things over there at Ole Miss. And we're pulling for Ole Miss. I have the teams pulled up here. I did want to just touch on this real quick.
Some current events.
Ole Miss is the only unranked team going to the Women's College World Series.
It's also their first time going ever.
It's their first time ever going. So really good for them. I would say that the top two that I am pulling for would be Texas Tech and Ole Miss, just because Jerry Glasgow at Tech. Pulling from Jerry.
Love that man.
And Ole Miss, because they're the underdog, and I'll always root for the underdog. I love to see it.
I want Tech to win.
I hope Tech does win. I hope Ole Miss is right there with them, though.
Yeah.
And I hope that Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, UCLA, and Oregon all go 2-0. I mean, 0-2. 0-2. 2 and barbecue.
They all lose.
Somehow. I hope Texas has the worst Women's College World Series showing ever known, because so Clemson should have beat them.
I feel like they're, like, I don't know them personally, but you can't, like, hate. You know who's actually.
I can't.
She,
I
really and she does can't. Get, I think she has gotten some awards too, but Mia Scott is
she's
like.
She's fun to watch.
She is, but she's so calm and relaxed. Like, she doesn't get too high or too low.
That's so true.
She's just so steady.
Yeah, she really
she's
is.
One of the best players, I think, college softball has seen in a long time.
She is. And then Reese Atwood. I mean, they're good. They're good. I'm a UT hater. I'm not a hater of any of the players on
we
that team.
We already taught our daughter to do horns down.
I'm not a hater of any of the players on that team. I think they're all great. And I respect the heck out of every single person who straps on the cleats and takes the field. But I hope Texas literally sucks so bad. same with Oklahoma. Like, I just, and it's nothing against the people or the coaches. I just don't want to see them win again.
That's fair.
I don't think that's normal.
Yeah, you're allowed to have opinions.
From a loser standpoint.
You're allowed to have opinions.
Typically, the losers are always pulling for the winners to lose.
That's true.
I just want somebody else to win it. I just want an underdog victory. I love that. It's fun. Makes it fun.
Who do you have? Because your official, this person's winning. It's this Thursday, so.
God. Who's going to win it all? I hate it. I hate to say it. But give me the Oklahoma Sooners. Mm. They just dominated their regional. They're the only team that I feel like dominated their regional. Super regional. Sorry. Tech did too, though. Oregon did too.
You have
too.
To give one.
Oregon did pretty well against Liberty, but I don't think Oregon's going
to
hang with these other teams. Okay, my one, Oklahoma, yeah, unfortunately. But I think it's going to be a Texas Tech-Oklahoma final. But I don't want to say that again, because I was so wrong last week that every team that I said was going
to
move on lost.
Courage to compete, Noah. Courage to compete.
Here's my prediction, based on my accuracy. It's going to be a Texas Oklahoma final, and Texas is going to win it all. Hook 'em horns.
Please never do that ever again.
I'm just saying that so that they lose, because I'm terrible at predictions and I'm always wrong.
I see what you're doing.
So.
Okay, I say that Texas Tech is going to win.
Okay.
And they're going to play UCLA in the final.
Ew, no. Not a chance UCLA gets the final, but okay. Go Bruins. I haven't watched UCLA one game this year.
And on that note.
on that note, good night. It's late. And thanks for tuning in, as always. We'll see you next time. Bye.